Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of faith for our messy lives. I'm Tony Kolank, a professor at Ave Maria School of Law, the father of five grown children and the author of inspirational fiction for teens and adults. Can't believe we are already well into 2024. There's so much going on this year with writing. Of course, I had Penny and the Stolen Chalice that came out in March, which is a great middle grade reader book about the Eucharist. Also, the final installment of the Harwood Mysteries, book six, is going to be coming out in October. And then early next year, I've got book one and a new series coming out from Chrism Press. So that leaves me writing book two this summer. So quite a busy year for writing. And speaking of writing, I am thrilled today to be speaking with one of my first serious writer friends, Karina Fabian, and her father, Deacon Steve Lumbert. And we're going to be talking about how we can find God in everyday life. My guests today are a father-daughter duo, Deacon Steve Lumbert and Karina Fabian, authors of the new release, There You Are, God, Finding God in the Everyday. This is the first time I've actually had dual guests on The Shepherd's Pie. Karina, of course, has been a guest before on the show. She's a cradle Catholic and the current president of the Catholic Writers Guild. She's been writing professionally since 1996, including articles, short stories, and novels. She has about 40 novels out. She's also the mother of four grown children, and her husband live in Florida. And Deacon Steve Lumbert, first time on the show, converted to Catholicism in his 40s and then dove in wholeheartedly. After being a Colorado state trooper for 30 years, he turned his service to the church and became a deacon just in time to baptize his youngest grandchild. Married for 57 years, he and his wife live in Florida, where he serves as a deacon of St. John the Evangelist Parish. Karina and Deacon Lumbert, welcome to The Shepherd's Pie.
Glad to be here. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, as a first-timer, it's really enjoyable to be here.
And it's great to have you. And this is going to be a lot of fun because I already know Karina's a lot of fun. I'm sure she got that from you. And so
definitely.
I'm hoping for some good times today as we talk about finding God in our everyday lives. And Deacon, why don't we start with you? Can you share a little bit about how you maybe found your way back into the faith?
As I say in the book, I was raised as a Protestant. And my first real introduction to the Catholic faith was when I met my wife. I joined the Navy. I ended up in Puerto Rico on shore duty, if you would believe that. As it turned out, I met my wife, and of course, she is a cradle Catholic, and we began going to the Catholic Church. And it just seemed like something starting to resonate with me that was bringing me to that point. But circumstances were not conducive to, you know, study and so on, because I had other things that were happening in my life at that time. Eventually, we returned to Colorado, and as you mentioned, I became a Colorado State Trooper assigned to Pueblo. Working shift work, I didn't always get the opportunity to go to Sunday Mass and things like that. A situation that came up was I had lost, my dad, my oldest brother, my next oldest brother, and my little brother through actually violent acts that occurred in our lives. And with my little brother, When he passed, he was one day short of his 40th birthday. And I really realized that I needed to do something. What I feel now is that it was God calling me, telling me, you need to make this decision now. And so I went to my parish priest and I said, Father, what do I have to do to become Catholic? And this is 22 years after I had been introduced to my wife. The situation was that he says to me, because I'd been so active in the church, he looked at me and he says, you're not Catholic? And I says, well, no. They said, and then he told me what I had to do was go through the RCIA program that at Easter Vigil 1988, I would be accepted into the church. And as it turns out, I went through that. It was the most wonderful experience of my life in that time. And I, at Easter Vigil, became a Catholic. And it was a great joy to have my wife and my two daughters there with me. And of course, then after that, there was a period of about 8 years till 1995, and I'd been assigned to another area, still remained active within the Catholic Church. When we went back to Pueblo, one of the things that happened was that the same priest that I had initially talked to, he looked at me at a reception that was going on, and he says, there is our level three candidate. I had no idea what level three meant, and in Colorado, in Pueblo, that meant the diaconate. And I said, I didn't know what was going on.
That is a beautiful story. And I know you also mentioned in the book about your daughter's faith. So actually, Karine, I'd love to hear a little bit about your own kind of journey into the faith.
Well, I am a cradle Catholic, but we were not super active when I was growing up. I didn't even know what the Hail Mary was until my first communion. I did not realize my mother prayed the rosary privately. When I went to college, I spent a year kind of church hopping with a friend. We were both Catholic, but she wasn't feeling it. And so I thought, yeah, you know, let me go explore a little bit. And came back to the church because that was the one that called to me on an emotional as well as an intellectual level. I made my decision then, which was shortly before my dad made his decision to convert. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. I made that decision and never looked back.
And you are the current president of the Catholic Writers Guild, which is, I always attribute any success in my writing, and I'm not just saying this, literally any success in my writing fiction has been because of the Catholic Writers Guild. Can you speak to that for a second? Because you were also instrumental in that organization before becoming the current president.
Catholic Writers Guild is an international organization of Catholic writers, editors, illustrators, publishers, basically those who are working toward the production of books and articles to further the profession of our faith in the written word. It does not necessarily mean teaching the faith, you know, devotionals, that kind of thing, like what we've done. It's also, as Tony said, fiction, and sometimes even fiction that is meant for the secular world. The idea is the worldview is there. We are currently 500 strong. We have two very well-attended conferences, one online and one live. We have retreats. We have a vetting program for Catholic bookstores, and we are working on just truly expanding our offerings this year. That's my mission as the president, to get us out there through more connections, more programs, more marketing. So it is a terrific, vibrant community. We communicate via the Heartbeat app, which is like Facebook on steroids, and it's a fantastic experience to meet like-minded writers.
Wow, yes. And of course, as a prolific writer yourself with over 40 books out there and lots of other writing too, that's incredible. But Deacon, I understand you, of course, were not a writer by trade. Can you talk a little bit about how you wound up writing this current book with your daughter?
Well, I knew that she was interested in writing and things like that. I've known that since clear back when she was just a teenager, because she would barricade herself actually in her room. By the time all this came about, she had written several books and she was very active in writing in different areas. And she called me up one day and she says, Dad, how would you like to write a book with me? I said, well, I've never written anything before. And so that was the beginnings, because she says, don't worry, I'll guide you through it. And she did. You know, if you want to really look at it, it was a very intimate relationship we had to come to, because we were writing about our personal lives. I write in my own way, because, of course, I'd written homilies and things like that. As a trooper, of course, I had to do reports for the district attorney's office, and those reports had to be very detailed. So here I am, and she gave me the topic that she wanted me to write on. So I wrote the first one. Now, we were doing this by email, and so I sent it to her. You know, she sent it back. She had crossed out about 50 to 60% of what I had written, saying, you're just being too prolific, if you will, in this respect. She says, we need to get to the meat of things. And through her guidance, I was able to really bear down and get to the crux of what we were going to be talking about and really put it all together. And that was an amazing experience, because it was the first time in my life I'd ever had my daughter telling me what to do, because I'm the dad. You know what I mean?
I mean, I have five kids. It seems like my kids always want to tell me what to do. I don't know. That's not a new experience for me. But Karina, why this topic? Why finding God in everyday life? And why this one for your dad to write with you?
Well, actually, this was because of another group I was in. I was networking, and a Christian publisher needed a book. She had planned it, and the author she had in mind dropped out. So she said, I need somebody to write a devotional this many words on this topic. I thought about it for a long time because it was resonating. And then, but I thought, I can't do this. I don't have the theological underpinning for it. And then I was at church and I realized I have a father who's a deacon. What am I doing? So I thought I could do that. And that's when I called him up, and he brought a whole new dimension. And really the book became so much greater because of that dual perspective. And also he was the one who could bring in the faith a little bit stronger. One thing I wanted to mention, though, is that despite the fact that this really is a Catholic book, it talks about our journey as Catholics in some of the stories, not all of them. And it does have questions and quotes from the Catechism, but it's in its original form, it made a huge impact with Christian readers as well. I would say half or more of the reviews that we got were for people who were Christian, and it actually did win the Christian Small Press Award.
That's awesome. And you just re-released it in 2024, which is cool. Let me ask this, Deacon, what would you say, I mean, especially after writing this book, are some of the things you'd say to somebody about how you can find God in everyday life? Are there just some general principles that we should be using in our own lives?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that we have to start listening to what is happening to us and trying to find answers. And the answers are actually within God. It's kind of hard to say because each person is unique. And the way that you would respond to things is not the way I would respond. But we have to respond to a positivity to bring us to an understanding that something greater than us is there. And that greaterness is God. And that's Him active in our lives. And we have to also realize that He may not give us the answers we want, because that is very true. It's happened many, many times in my life where I wanted something to happen in a certain way and it didn't work out. But that's because God wasn't, and He was wanting to take me on a different path, and I had to follow that other path. But I had to accept that instead of saying, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I had to, in my heart, say, well, what does He want me to do?
Can I add just a little?
Yes, please.
I think that a big thing is trust, of course, which Dad talked about, and understanding that God is always there and starting with that premise. I know God's here, and then look for Him. A lot of our stories did come from 2020 hindsight. And as we wrote them, I started realizing how much more I could see God if I was paying attention at the time. You know how they say, you know, in 20 years, we'll laugh about this. I tell myself, I'm not going to wait 20 years. I laugh about it now, because why wait for it to be funny? I can make it funny now. And it's the same thing. It's like, why wait to have that perspective? If I can start with that premise, God's here, and then say, okay, I accept that. Where are you? And that's how you find God, is by making the active decision to look.
What I'd love to do now is maybe dive into one or two of your favorite vignettes from the book where you found God in your everyday life, and maybe sharing the ones that really impacted on you the most. And maybe, Deacon, you can start us off. Is there one particular vignette that you share in the book on this topic that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, there's actually several of them, but I really have to go back to the very beginnings in this respect, because it was when I was only 21 years old when I got married, but I was ready. And as it turned out, my wife got pregnant and Karina was born. And when she was born, it was really my first really strong feeling that God was present and that he was sending me an angel in this respect to respond to what my requests were. And now I'll give you a little background of what happened is when my wife went into labor, Karina, as she was dropped into the birth canal, had her arms up blocking her birth. And the doctor came out after about 4 or 5 hours of trying. He comes out to me and he says, well, we have a choice to make here. And if you know, we can either continue and you'll have no baby and no wife, or you'll have a baby and no wife, or you'll have a wife and no baby. Or we have this other procedure, which is, as it turns out, to be a cesarean, but they called it a very dangerous surgery that we can do. And that would give us a better opportunity. But you got to sign these papers. Well, for a young 21-year-old guy, that was really devastating. Because I was really looking forward to birth, to having my baby and my wife and everything. In fact, I even broke down and cried, as hard as it was. But I kept saying, why me, God? Where do I go? What do I do all of this time? And finally, after a little while longer, because I wasn't making the decision, they wheeled my wife out of the delivery room. And she talked to me and she says, well, you know, you need to sign the papers. And I was still so devastated, I didn't know what to do. And finally, she just tells me, she says, listen, if you don't sign those time papers, I will. I, like a good husband, said, yes, dear, and signed them. But it was God talking to me through an angel, and she was my angel who came to me and told me, sign, because you're going to have something beautiful come from it. And that was when Karina was born. And even before they cleaned her up or anything else after she was born, they brought her out for me to see. And it was a very beautiful moment.
Yeah, of course, everybody knows how impactful it is for a mom to have a baby. But as a father of five myself, I can say that I share your feelings. And my kids' births all had profound impacts on my life. What about you, Karina? What's one of your favorite vignettes from your book about finding God in everyday life?
I think one that hit me hard was when I was in college, and it was freshman year. And so I was still exploring. And one of the things, actually, it picked it up from a different church, was the idea of just quieting your mind, asking God a question and saying, God, you just tell me. And so I was actually in the shower and I said, I'm going to try this. And I said, all right, God, you just tell me what you need me to do today. I do not have a quiet mind, but I made myself be quiet. And the thought came to me, give Becky a flower. Now, Becky was one of my dorm mates who I didn't know at the time was bulimic, but she was in the hospital for it. And I didn't know her. I saw her in the hall and that was it. And I was like, why would I give Becky a flower? I was like, oh, come on, God, tell me what you want me to do. Give Becky a flower. And my boyfriend had just given me flowers. So I took a couple to the RA and I was embarrassed and shy. And I was like, would you give these to Becky the next time you see her? Because I didn't know her. I didn't want to go and intrude on her in the hospital. But the RA was visiting her. So I said, would you give these to her? And then when she got out of the hospital, she came to me and said, I was at a terribly low point. And I thought that people hated me and I was embarrassed by my illness and everything else. And then the RA came and said that these were from you, and it meant everything in that moment. So, you know, just sitting quietly and just saying, God, what do you want me to do? And then actually listening, which is the hard part. My prayer tends to be, God, you know, I am an extremely stubborn person and I am blind to these things. So please hit me with a 2x4. You want me to go in a direction? Just smack me hard. Tell me this is the way. Do it twice. I'm okay with that because I want to go your way. But sometimes I don't listen well.
Yeah, nor do I. What about you, Deacon? You said you had some other vignettes from later in life. Pick your favorite one.
I think it was when I was called to the diaconate. It was really a very profound calling. As I said, I was professed my faith at Easter Vigil in 1988. And in 1995, this is after I've still been involved in the church and so on. I'd been transferred once to Sterling and came back to Pueblo. Like I've said, he looked at me and says, there's our level 3 candidate. Well, not that parish priest, because we had a change of priest take place. And then a couple of years later, there was an announcement for the diaconate. Well, as it turns out, I was in Cheyenne instead of Pueblo for the announcement. So I missed it. So about a week after the announcement or so, my parish priest at morning mass, before mass, grabbed me and he took me into the rectory. And he goes, why haven't you applied for the diaconate? There was kind of a, who, me? Whoa. And he says, I'm behind you 100%. And he slammed his hand down second in order time. And he says, why haven't you applied for the diaconate? Because the church is behind you 100%. And then he did it a third time. And even harder. And it was like an explosion, you know. And he says, why haven't you? Because the council's are behind you 100%. And of course, I said, well, Father, I have to go home and pray on this. Well, I went home, and that was on Sunday. Monday morning, I was at the rectory office, knocking on the door almost. I did apply for the diaconate. And through the grace of God, 4 years later, I was ordained as a deacon in the Catholic Church. That was Easter Vigil of 2000. My class was the very first class of deacons ever ordained for the Diocese of Pueblo. And it was just in time. My youngest grandson was born on July 2nd, and I was ordained on August 4th. Well, the next morning, August 5th, I had the great, great honor of baptizing him as my very first liturgical process and also being able to do it for him.
Perfect timing. I love it. That is awesome. Yeah. All right. So, Karina, if you had somebody, you know, listening to the show and they're like, well, this all sounds great, but, you know, I don't have a lot of success finding God in my everyday life. Any words of advice to them?
It's a process. You keep trying. Think back on the things that happened to you. You look forward to what's happening to you right now and ask God to help you. He wants to be there for you. He wants you to know that he is there for you. So if you're having problems seeing it, take it to prayer and don't lose heart, because sometimes things happen and you don't know why until many years later. You'll see a change in your life and you go, wait, that was the crossroad. Or in the small things, sometimes it's just that moment of contentment, that hand on your shoulder that you don't quite realize is there.
Beautiful, wise words. All right. So Where do we get a hold of a copy of your book? And what if we want to learn more about both of you and any other writings or other things?
The book is available on Amazon. So you can just look up There You Are, God, Deacon Steve Lumbert, Karina Fabian, and it'll pop up for you. All of my books and a little bit about me, you can find on KarinaFabian.com. It's KarinaFabian.com. One more plug-in for the Catholic Writers Guild, CatholicWritersGuild.org. Come check us out. So much going on, and we would love to have you.
And Deacon, any final words before we wrap up?
First of all, you won't find a whole lot about me unless you just go and type in my name on the internet. And I know that they have a lot of stuff that's there. But as to my faith, that I don't think it all shows up, except that it does. If you put in Deacon, it'll show up a lot of things that I've done in over my life. The thing I really stress with people is, you know, you have to find within yourself a way to just, as Karina has said, quiet yourself and listen. Because God is there and he will give you the answers. You just have to listen for that answer and then respond accordingly. I know that that has been very true with me all throughout my life. And I used to be kind of a tough, you know, back when I was young, I always felt I was a tough guy. But I feel like now I have found through God a great compassion for people during my 19 years as a deacon in the Diocese of Pueblo. I was in charge in various dioceses of the hospital ministry. And that would just became a great joy to be and come and be with people and help them and help them guide them to the answers they needed and through prayer and things like that. It always surprised me that some people would come to me afterwards and said, thank you. You know, you were there and helped me. And I says, no, it wasn't me. It was God helping you. And they said, yeah, you're right. And that for me was a great revelation. So you have to just listen more than anything else and try and find the see that answer God is giving you.
I can't end the show on anything better than that. What a great way to wrap it up. Fortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. We've been speaking with Karina Fabian and her father, Deacon Steve Lumbert, about their devotional book, There You Are, God, Finding God in the Everyday. Again, if you're interested in learning about any of my writings, especially for teens, you can come to my website, antonykolenk.com. But until next time, may God bless us as we rely on our faith to work through the messy challenges of our lives.